The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, July 16th, 2018. It's our Monday political face-off day presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. The Monday political face-off today, John Munger is with us, Tucson attorney, former head of the Arizona Border Regents and 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Jeff Rogers is here. He was longtime Pima County Democratic Party chair. Jeff, how was your weekend?
Very nice. It was nice to get the all the rain, but of course it kept me from riding my horse, so that's a mixed bag for me.
Nice, gentle rain, which we need, John Munger.
Oh, it was great. I just read a book and got some exercise in. Didn't play golf, but it was great.
Well, everybody's talking about what went on in Helsinki. Anderson Cooper, one of CNN's most popular anchor people, and I know, John, you're a great fan of CNN. Anderson Cooper said one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president. How about Jeff Flake? I never thought I would see the day when our American president would stand on stage with the Russian president and place blame on the United States for Russian aggression. This is shameful. Our other U.S. Senator, John McCain, one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory. Jeff, do you want to begin?
Well, I couldn't agree more with Jeff Flake and Senator McCain. The fact of the matter is former CIA director Brennan said that he believed this rose to the level of treasonous behavior, that it was that he was totally in the pocket of Putin, and that his words were imbecilic. He blamed his own country for the hostilities between us and Russia, in spite of the fact that it's been absolutely proven that Russia interfered in our election and the elections of other countries, I might add, the annexation by violence of Crimea, their support for the rebels in Ukraine, the various assassination attempts in Great Britain, and their aggression in Syria. Despite all of that, somehow our president decides that we're at fault. We're at fault somehow for the hostilities between us and Russia. Nothing could be farther from the truth. You know, Russia is basically a bully country that is invading its neighbors and trying to lay the groundwork for disabling the greatest Western alliance in the history of this world, something that has kept us in relative peace for almost seven decades. And, so it's unsurprising that he cozied up to Putin, given the fact that last week he basically chastise all of our allies whom we've had for seven decades, and it's just shameful. And I don't think every time you think he can't get worse, he does.
What do you think, John?
I think he's doing a great job. I loved it today. I loved his comment. I would rather take a political risk in pursuit of peace than risk peace in pursuit of politics. Great quote. A quote for the ages. Look. American presidents have met with Russian dictators, and this guy is basically a dictator. Times in the past, Reagan met with Gorbachev. Our presidents have met with the Russians. Kennedy, as I recall, met with Khrushchev. That happens. We have to have talks. We can either talk or we can go to war. And I loved the fact that he met and see where we can meet. He didn't give the Russians anything.
Of course, we don't know what was said during the two hours that no one was present.
But you can't say that he gave the Russians anything because you don't know. And from all appearances, the Russians didn't claim that he gave them anything. He didn't say he gave them anything. I think there are some places in the world where we can work together. There obviously are some places in the world where we can't work together. But we're better to sit down and try to work together where we can. I'm glad we have a president who wants to talk as much as we can. I'm interested. The Democrats were saying, as you recall, right after the election, oh, we're going to go to war with everybody. We haven't gone to war with anybody. We've been getting out of wars. And now the Democrats are saying, well, you're not bellicose enough. It's just amazing to me, with all of the history of American presidents talking in rougher times than these. I point to Reagan and Gorbachev, where we've sat down and talked to them and tried to see where we can work together. Why wouldn't we do that now? Would you rather have a war? Would you rather have no communications so that we just can't even talk about what we're doing? I loved it. And I think that you put this in context of the NATO people. It's about time somebody told the NATO people they need to pay their share. They promised to pay their share of 2% of their gross national product towards NATO since 1949, and okay, they have John. Never done it.
All right, John.
About time somebody told them to pay up.
All right, John, let's let Jeff respond to you.
I'll just say that I think that Ronald Reagan is spinning in his grave right now. I mean, the fact of the matter is that none of these leaders, previous presidents, have met with a Russian president directly after an attack on our democracy. And there are a lot of people, including myself, who think this attack on our democracy was a heck of a lot worse than 9/11. This was a direct attempt to affect an election, and it may well have affected the election in this case. And Putin has admitted, he admitted today, that he wanted to see the election turn out the way that it did. I mean, he's always been a Trumper, and he admitted it today for the cameras and the audience. So the fact is that none of our leaders previous to this would have engaged in this kind of behavior, and none of them would have stood on a stage and blamed our country for the hostilities between us and Russia. I mean, it was treasonous behavior at its very worst. We don't have to be in a declared war for treason to be committed. It can be committed when there are just hostilities between countries, and I believe he did it today.
I think that's overwrought and hyperbolic in the worst sense. Nothing he did today was treason. He's simply talking with the Russians. He did say that some of the issues in the world, are caused by Russia. He said, but both countries have done some things that have antagonized the other side. He wasn't saying which is worse, but it's a good idea when you're sitting down to talk to somebody, to try and adopt a moderate tone in the context of the conversation, and try to find a place where you can begin talking. I don't know how anybody can criticize this except on a purely political basis.
He should have stood on that stage, pointed his finger at Putin, and said, I believe my intelligence agencies, over a dozen of them, my FBI and my Department of Justice, and over your denial. And this will never happen again, and it certainly won't happen on my watch. Well, that's what he should have said.
Well, that's all fine and good, and that's very bellicose. And, the fact of the matter is, when you're trying to sit down and talk to somebody, good negotiation sense is that you sit down and rather than be bellicose and wave your hands in the air and get all excited, sometimes you're better off to sit down and adopt a moderate tone and try to make things work. I'm just astounded. I could hear Barack Obama. Remember what Barack Obama did when he knew this was happening? He did nothing. He did nothing. And the only thing he did...
Actually, he
let me finish. He did nothing other than tell Putin, knock it off. Oh, that's very powerful.
He met Meanwhile, with the leaders of the Senate and the leaders of the House and informed them of what was going on. And he was threatened by Mitch McConnell that if he did made any of this public, that the chickens would come home to roost, basically. Whoa. So Barack Obama kept it quiet. And I'm sorry that he did that. I'm very sorry he did that. He should have made it an open fact that the Russians were trying to elect Donald Trump, and maybe we wouldn't have this petty little dictator as our president.
Barack Obama was asleep at the switch, and all he did is go to Putin and say, knock it off. Oh, that's a very tough comment. That's very tough. That obviously made a heavy impression on Putin.
Do you think it was a five-star performance today by the president, John?
No, I wouldn't say it was a five-star performance. I think it was out of a 1 to 5, it was probably 3.5 or 4. I've seen him do better. But that doesn't mean he did a bad job. I think that he's trying to negotiate a deal on some issues that are important. There are important issues out there, Syria, various other issues out there that need to have people who can talk and try to work things out rather than stand around and threaten each other with war. Which is apparently what the Democrats want.
All right, we'll take our break right here. This portion of the program presented by our favorite bakery in town, Mona's, which is a totally non-political place to go right now. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner Steve and his team of bakers get up very early to make sure your bread that you're having right now on your sandwich at Mona's came out of the oven very fresh and delicious. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Also, there's links to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of our sponsors at buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, climate scientist Dr. Zach Guido. Zach will have an update on the start of the summer thunderstorm season, which so far has been quite productive. Also, TUSD board member Rachel Sedgwick joins us. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Mohs Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mohsgallery.com and on Facebook. Got about three callers who would like to go on the air during the face-off with Jeff Rogers and John Munger. Let's just start at the top and go right down the list. How about Lauren first? Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, thank you, Bill. I want to make one brief comment. I'm pretty sure, convinced probably, that regardless of how Trump would have conducted himself in the meeting with Putin, the left side of the aisle would not be happy.
That is right.
Well, that I think you're correct there, Lauren, but you wouldn't see all of the noise coming from the right side of the aisle that's coming out today. I mean, he's being pretty roundly condemned by both the Republican leadership and as well as others. So that's what's surprising, is that I think he just went further than even Republicans expected.
Carl would like to take issue with Jeff Rogers, something, a quote Jeff made here on the program a few minutes ago. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, I mean, you called Trump a petty little dictator. I can still travel the country. I don't have to show my papers to anyone. Nobody's being arrested. Nobody's being shot like the protesters are in Venezuela. There are no concentration camps where the gays and lesbians are being forced into. You know, this is just a real... You talk about civility, and this is just really not very helpful at all to make comments and so forth like that. If you want to argue with the guy about his stance and the things that he's doing, that's fine. But calling him names is something I'd expect in the third or fourth grade.
Well, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone call people more names than Donald Trump. He has a name for everybody around him, and they're often pretty nasty. So I think he deserves that. And what I shouldn't have probably said was little, because he is about 6 feet tall, so maybe he's not little. But he wishes he could be a petty dictator, and he admires people like Kim Jong-un and Putin and many others, right-wing despots currently in control in various places like the Philippines and Turkey. Every day we see more of his admiration of these petty dictators, and so I think he wants to be one, and he's jealous of the power that they have.
What do you think?
I find that interesting. It was Barack Obama that exercised all of the executive power that Supreme Court and other courts found were beyond his power. He was the one that was exercising dictatorial powers through the executive orders, not Donald Trump. And if you want to look at dictators or want to be dictators, remember the comments from Barack Obama, "I have a telephone and a pen." He wanted to run this country as a dictatorship. You don't hear that from Donald Trump. Donald Trump goes to Congress and says, "Pass some laws." And he goes back to Congress when they don't do that and says, "Get off your butt and pass some laws." He doesn't do it by executive order. Who's the dictators?
He's issued plenty of executive orders since he came back in office.
But not like...
He's probably on a pace to do quite a few more than Barack Obama his first 4 years.
But he hasn't done executive orders that were in violation of the Constitution, in violation of the president's powers.
Okay. Jonathan is next. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Hello. Yeah, I heard the term treasonous thrown around regarding the president's words today, and Mr. Rogers brought up President Obama, and it reminded me of an incident where President Obama was caught on an open mic asking Medvedev to tell Vladimir Putin that his next election will be his last one and he'd have more flexibility after that. So where does that fall in the treason meter here?
Well, I'll tell you, I remember that as well, and you'll notice that at no time did President Obama behave in the manner we saw this morning. At no time did he go up there and practically do everything but stroke Putin's back. I mean, this display was just unbelievable.
How can you stroke anybody's back better than say, wait till the election's over and then I'll be a lot more flexible with you?
And was he? And did anything
yes,
like that happen?
Yes, he did. No, he did. Sure, did he let not. He let the Russians invade Syria. He did all kinds of things. Let the Russians get away with the invasion of Crimea. He did nothing. Barack Obama did nothing when they were interfering with our
election. Would you have recommended that he send troops to Crimea to stop that?
I would have recommended that he send military weaponry so that the Ukrainians could defend themselves, yes. And he didn't do any of that. And when it got down to interfering with our democratic process, his big effort was to tell Putin to knock it off.
One of our Facebook friends wants to call you out, John, saying that Trump has had many more executive orders than former President Obama, including Trump's travel bans. Those were all executive actions.
Yes, and the travel bans were upheld. And his executive orders were within constitutional powers and have been upheld. The issue is not how many each party had. The issues are Obama's efforts to extend presidential powers beyond his constitutional powers. And that we know, I recall, and don't hold me to this, I recall that his executive orders were stricken down 9 times.
I don't think it was nearly that many. I think it was only a couple of times.
It was a number of times, and he extended his constitutional powers way beyond his ability. I don't think one of Donald Trump's executive powers.
Well, his first two travel bans were both struck down by the courts. Only when he included some non-Muslim countries in those travel orders and fixed them up with some proper legal language did they get upheld by the Supreme Court. But the rest of them were all struck down.
They were struck down by lower liberal courts in Hawaii and California. They never got to the Supreme Court. You can't argue that the Supreme Court would have stricken them down. Rather than go back and argue about it, he readapted the executive order, and when that got to the Supreme Court upheld it.
Well, they upheld it because he got rid of the language that would have created a presumption that this was a religious ban. That's how they got upheld, because smarter lawyers drafted a better example of it.
Well, actually, you don't know that. What the Supreme Court said was that he only had 8 nations that were Muslim nations out of something like 36 or 40 or 50, and that he obviously was not trying to ban Muslims, and that he had a basis for it.
The original two did include only majority Muslim countries,
and so did the third one. I suggest to you that the first two Muslim bans were stricken down by liberal courts in Hawaii that were handpicked by the lawyers. And Jeff, you know how that goes. You try to handpick a judge. They handpick liberal judges, and they struck down. But those issues never got to the Supreme Court. What we do know is when a travel ban got to the Supreme Court, it was upheld.
Well, we know that the first two were on their face Muslim bans, as you even called them yourself. And you don't get to pick your judge in the district court setting. You might pick the place you want to file a lawsuit, but you don't get to pick your judge.
We all know how that works, where all the judges, like in Hawaii, are liberal.
All right, let's see if we can get
that's the way it works.
One more call in. Tony, go ahead, sir. You're on the on the air.
I want to say that I agree that President Obama was a very weak president in many respects, but he did not bring disgrace like this President Trump is doing right now to our country. And if any patriots are out there, true patriots, this is a traitorous president, and it's a shame, and I cannot stand. I'm glad that we live in a state where John McCain, our senator, can take a stand and still, in his deathbed, claim that, you know, he has enough sense to say, call him out, like he is. I'm just dumbfounded with these right-wingers. They rather give their tribalism more patronage than our country. It's a shame.
Well, Tony, I completely agree with you. You know, I was not a supporter of Ronald Reagan, the first Bush or the second Bush, but all of them behaved with dignity, and I would never say anything that they were unpatriotic or treasonous in any way. Even when I disagreed with their policies, I had a great deal of respect for them as men and as the president, but I cannot say that about this president. I'm very disappointed to have to say that.
It's interesting, sir. I respect your opinions. But I don't know that you've given me a basis for anything he's done that's treasonous.
All right. On that note, John Munger, thank you very much, John. Good
thank
to see you.
And
thank you very much, Jeff Rogers.
Quite welcome.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook presenting our Monday political face-off. Drop by Moe's for all of your custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion of the program presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson, a great part of the southwestern United States. Very pretty over there after the summer rains. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the complete listing of the great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over there. Everybody always comes back and says, Bill, I had a great time over there, and there is certainly no shortage of things to do over there, including visiting the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Legendary high school football coach Jeff Skurin is with me. Jeff led the Catalina Foothills program and has led them for the past 5 years. He's chalked up more than 300 career wins. He is a citizen of the world traveling to the four corners of this earth, but what he saw recently in Agua Prieta, Mexico, the border town near Douglas, has really changed his life forever. Coach Skurin is the author of the acclaimed book One Game, One Time, which recounts his time at Pima Community College, taking a football program from scratch to the finals of the community college football world. That was back in 2004. Down in Agua Prieta, he's gotten involved with a charity that really is right up Coach's alley because he's seen some classic underdogs that he loves so much. Coach Skurin, thank you for joining us. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much, Mr. Buckmaster. I appreciate that very much. At my age, every day you wake up and it's a good day, right?
You had a great trip. We were following it on Facebook. Started in Boston, right? Cruise down to the Caribbean?
Uh-huh, that's right. I had a good friend in Boston who is the former director of publicity for the International Federation of American Football, and we've worked together overseas on many occasions trying to use sports as a springboard for a lot of people to improve their life, and I'm very involved in that and have done many clinics overseas, and so Michael Preston and I had a great chance to go to Fenway Park together and enjoy that wild scene. It really was a lifelong dream of mine to go there and to sit with those people in the stands and enjoy a ball game. And Boston, of course, is such a wonderful historical city.
And then you had a very interesting trip in the Caribbean, which included the island of Cuba.
Yes, Cuba is a very interesting place.
How are you treated there?
Amazing. The people of Cuba are wonderful people. Of course, I had a lot of experience with that growing up in Miami, and was there and playing sports with and amongst a lot of people from the boat lift. I taught in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, and a third of the school were boat lifted people that came to the United States looking for another chance and a great opportunity. Very industrious, hard workers, very friendly, and wonderful music and dancing and food.
How about the old cars?
The old cars were just, that's such an amazing thing. You know, the one we drove in was the 55 Chevy.
Wow.
what do they call it? Cherry red, cranapple red, and point and white, and with rolled and pleated seats. But so interesting because the insides, of course, are long gone, and it was powered by a Hyundai diesel engine. So a very unique experience and wonderful. Wonderful people, very educated, wonderful medical system, great education system, but a true lack of what we would consider everyday supplies and things that, you know, that you, even milk and getting things for supplies for children. It's very moving, but still people with a great smile on their face and great humor, and most of them a great love for the United States.
You have to cannibalize parts probably for those cars.
They are very industrious, let me tell you. They find a way.
Let's talk about what you found in Agua Prieta. How did you come to go down there and get involved in this charity?
I've worked with this lady by the name of Magalay Moreno for several years doing projects in Douglas where she lives. Mm-hmm. And she is from Agua Prieta and her father still lives there. And one of the times when I was down there helping, she kind of wrangled me to say, you know, one day I'm going to get you involved in this charity. And of course, I was just so busy. I said, yeah, good luck. And but she called me up one time and I had some time off and she got me to go down there to work with this wonderful little soccer club that upset the entire Mexican soccer world. And soccer is very, very big there. There's really only three major sports in Mexico, and that's soccer, baseball, and boxing. And the rest of them were very, very minor. And it was so interesting to see these little kids and their dedication and their parents and what they were doing. And they upset the entire soccer world by becoming the first ever border team to win a state championship and thus earning the right to go to Mexico City to compete for the national title. And when I saw who they were, the love in their hearts, their enjoyment of the sports for the pure sake of being out there and how the parents wanted to help use sports, just like my philosophy, to help them use the springboard to greater success in life. And I saw the horrible, nasty dirt facilities they were playing on, the lack of uniforms, lack of funding by their own government. And they were going to be competing against very wealthy club teams from around Mexico, which are really most of what the teams are that are successful.
They have no supplies, in other words.
Nothing. They have nothing. Even the soccer balls they were using were way too large for the little kids. They use a size 3, and they were begging and borrowing very old size 4 and 5 soccer balls. When I brought down a dozen soccer balls donated by one of my former football players, Mike Snively, in the last time I went down there, they had never seen a new soccer ball in their lives. Never.
Unbelievable. And these are 5 and 6-year-old kids. They had no uniforms, no cleats, no supplies. How did you get them the material they needed to perform at a much higher level?
Well, you know, you scrap. You do what you do to win football games. You scrap. You find a way. You don't take no for an answer. You call on your friends for help. And Garrett Abeda, one of my former players at CDO of Abeda Painting in Tucson here, came up with a bunch of money. I started a GoFundMe page. We raised just about $5,000 that we asked for, and we paid for a lot of their trip. We've got them new uniforms, shin guards, cleats, balls, helped their coaches' staff out a little bit. We did a free clinic down there to help the coaches get a little bit better organized because they're really not professional coaches. They're just parents. But, you know, it's just so important to them and their community to get these kids a chance to get a leg up and get a chance. And the families down there are great. It's nothing, if you haven't been down there and you don't know what's beyond the immediate border, and to see how important family is, to see how important their children are, to see the love in their hearts and how they teach this love to be spread and the large, large family unit, very similar, in fact, to what I grew up with in the Midwest.
Did you come from a very poor family?
Oh, we weren't poor. We were a working class family, okay. And it was a rough neighborhood. But we grew up in the kind of family that most people would associate with the Midwest. Our parents rolled up their sleeves and they went to work every day and they made stuff happen. And my dad was a salesman, and if we wanted Christmas, he had to take an extra job. I think it's pretty typical of my generation and how we grew up in post-World War II America, working class, trying to make it a little bit better for their children. And I've tried to take that value that I learned from my parents and pass it on to the succeeding generations now that I've been fortunate to coach. And people think that kids have changed, and I'm telling them that's wrong. Kids are kids, and the world around us has completely changed, and the influences on their kids has changed. The internet has changed. I mean, you know, we're walking around with the Library of Congress in our cell phone in our pocket.
Yeah, with all these devices and everything.
And it's just, but you know, then you go to some of these cultures, like in Mexico and like in Cuba and like in different places that I go to in Europe, and it's that has not happened yet. And it's very interesting to see how those cultures still rely on those same old, like I say, people would be very surprised to go down there who come from Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, places like that, and see those same rural Midwestern values in play right across the border from the United States. It's amazing.
These are wonderful pictures that were associated with the USA Today article, which profiled you helping these border kids realize their dream. I love this one picture, one of the kids, one of the boys giving you a big hug. These kids, and now that it shows them in their new uniforms, so they're going to go on, well, they're going to compete in Mexico, in the capital in Mexico City?
Yes, in the first week, and they're going to compete in a major stadium, and they're going to be the first time they've ever played on grass, I'm told. Very interesting. Like I say, the first time I saw the field, I was literally in shock.
Just dirt, or
just dirt and rocks. They try and keep it together using old tires that they buried three quarters of the way into the ground to try and keep the dirt in place from the wind and the weather. And they have nets that they put up that they try and keep in shape. And in other parts of town, they have nice artificial turf fields, but these kids aren't allowed to use it because they come from
the poorest of the poor down
right
there. So how do people help out if they'd like to help these kids?
Well, I've just created another GoFundMe page called Agua Prieta Sports for Life. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to do other things now. I'm actually helping five teams. We've just started. There were so many little kids that came out spurred on by the interest in what their neighbors had done that now I'm supporting a four-year-old soccer club.
Wow.
There's a women's softball team that we're helping that are mostly people, you know, I don't even like to say it, but they come from the kind of homes that most of us would desire not to live in.
Sure.
With dirt floors and sometimes open sewage, but you know what, they make a good life out of it. They work jobs, they take care of their kids, it's their home, and I don't want to disparage that in any way, shape or form, but they do need some help. And so I brought a bunch of softball equipment down there on my last trip. We're supporting what we would consider a little league type baseball team trying to get going, help keep some of these kids occupied and off the streets and engaged and stay in school, because remember, it's really only in the United States where we do sports in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Most of this stuff comes from club teams. And if you're in an area of the country, any country in the world, outside of the United States, that does not have the money to start and support a club organization, your kids are kind of out of luck.
Wow.
And a lot of people like me in various parts of the United States and around the world step up to the plate and help create opportunity for kids. Because if you believe that sports are a conditioning for later in life, teaching the values, teamwork, work ethic, if you believe all that, and I do deeply, it's been my whole career, obviously, then you see stuff like this and you just find a way to step up to the plate and make some things happen.
More to come with Coach Jeff Skurin. So much to talk about. What's the future of high school football? What are some of his thoughts about Pima Community College? Basically has only one more year of community football ahead of them. We'll talk with Jeff Skurin and continue our conversation right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Many people ask me what it will take to make our community a better place. Well, it takes all of us. Our greatest resources are retired people with a lifetime of experience, skills, and resources that could be used to transform our community. Many of you come from somewhere else and haven't fully connected. Our community needs you and needs you now. I encourage you to find a nonprofit or church and join them in helping to transform Tucson. Your retirement could be the most productive time in your life. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Another one of our fine sponsors. Support coming from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all your gardening needs. They're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. There you go. And Green Things is now the home to Zocalo. The Zocalo for years was over there by Country Club and Broadway with all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. It's now over at Green Things on their 13 acres. Jeff Skurin is with us. Coach Skurin has 300 career wins. He'll be entering another year, year number six, right up at Foothills,
yes,
Coach?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
I mean, my goodness, you have had such a storied career. Did it break your heart when you heard about Pima dropping football, or did you have other kind of feelings toward that?
I had very mixed emotions. Obviously, Pima football is almost like one of my children. I raised every penny to help start the program. I invested a lot of 2 years of my life in just getting it going. 4 years of coaching there. It was heartbreaking because it creates opportunity. And you can't guarantee anything but opportunity. But without opportunity, nobody makes a move in life. And, to me as a teacher, a career teacher, and a career coach, it's all about opportunities. And Pima football was creating opportunities. I'm not sure of the inside details of what happened to why, but I know there's a lot of politics behind what's happened in Maricopa County. There is, obviously, a correlation between Maricopa dropping and what's going to happen in Pima. I was disappointed that I wasn't asked more of an opinion about how to save it, and I did have some plans and ideas, but it's a community. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a community, and they have to support that. I think a little bit in an effort to win, they'd kind of gotten away from some of the bringing in more and more of the local talent and giving them opportunities. And let's face it, Tucson is not the hotbed of football in Arizona.
No, but, and then the high school football is struggling. I know a lot of parents at Tucson High are kind of upset about this change in the conference for them.
Well, they, you know, the rules,
because they're going to have to travel a lot more.
The rules have not been kind to Southern Arizona,
okay.
But you know, you can't dwell on that because there's nothing we could do about it, because simply we're vastly outvoted when it comes to those types of things and trying to put together. You're a full-time teacher or a coach or somebody like that, and you try and put together a coalition of all the teams outside of the Phoenix metro area to band together. Now, nobody in education has time to do that kind of stuff, and so really what you're out there for in the first place is to coach your kids and make the best out of what you can, and you try and keep that straight face and do the best you can with the athletes you have. But when you see what's going on in other parts of the state and kids migrating to a few programs,
right,
and the old rules just kind of tossed out the window, and our state association kind of ignoring a lot of the new rules, and wink, wink, nod, nod, because now they have a few teams that are able to compete for national recognition. And
a couple of marquee teams that are going to draw the attention. The rest of them, well, they fall by the wayside.
And like I say, but you know, one of my expressions is lunch at the ESPN booth is a very powerful motivator for some of these state athletic people. And we're to blame ourselves because we compete very hard against each other in Tucson, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes then banding together to get anything done for our local kids a little bit tougher. And so we're kind of on the high end, and now you're getting, you know, and athletics has now been mixed into state politics with public and private education, and it's a very, very complex web we've weaved, and it's just not for the benefit of children anymore, and that's kind of sad.
And then the head injury issue?
The head injury issue is a real deal, and mm-hmm. people that don't think so, and it's not football. Football is one of many. Soccer is much worse, but you know, football obviously is always the lead dog in the pack, and we get the publicity for that. And we can't, and too long we've ignored it. We've been our own enemy in that regard. We need to step up the plate, recognize that, do things about that, change the rules, change equipment, change our coaching style a little bit, make kids understand that they're not, you know, they may be at 17, 18 years old able to withstand those impacts, but later on in life, those concussions, those impacts on their head, they're going to have a long-term damage, and we've got to do a much better job of educating our kids and changing the rules and getting, frankly, better equipment.
I played 3 years of high school soccer, and I think about all the times I would be heading the ball. That's not easy on the old noggin, is it?
No, it's not, and particularly when the ball's kicked from 60, 70 yards away.
Yeah.
And two or three people go up and smack their heads together trying to head that ball to each other.
I know.
And then nationally, they've done a good job in the United States. The AYSO has changed some of the rules requiring some headgear on younger players that are more susceptible to concussions. It's a real thing. I mean, and just, you know, we're so much smarter now. We need to take some of this knowledge and apply it to our sports programs and to how we treat children in schools, at home, you know, how, particularly on social media. I mean, we could do a whole show about that alone.
Yeah, we will too, indeed. Matthew has called us. Matthew, go ahead. You're with Coach Jeff Skurin.
Yeah, hey, Coach. You know, I'm going to drag you a little bit into the Pima College football program and just ask you, as an outsider now, and at the high school level, you know, what does it mean to Tucson and Southern Arizona if the board at Pima basically does away with football? There's a lot of people in this community that rely on Pima Community College, that football program, and look forward to it. And what does that do? And I know they have the same problems about the conference issues too.
Okay.
Any thoughts on it? Thank you.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I appreciate your question very much. Thank you. And you're preaching to the choir on this one. I'm a big believer. I wouldn't have dedicated my time and energy into starting it. And a big believer in what it does. And like I said before, it's up. If they stop the program, they're denying the opportunity to the kids. And kids are going to have to seek elsewhere. And that's taking talent away from Southern Arizona. And that's not good for our economy. I could go on and on about string theory and attachment and the multiplicity of the geometric multiplicity of the problems that killing sports could create in a community. But Pima football is becoming the center of it, and there are business leaders that need to step up to the plate. The right people need to do that. You know, it takes the right coaching staff, it takes the right people, it takes the cooperation of high school coaches that are interested in winning in their own programs, but wanting to create opportunity for their kids to go on the next level. Because remember, you know, you start to look at the NFL rosters, and there's a lot of millionaires out there who have made it from nothing, and a lot of those people have come out of community college programs along the way. Cam Newton is one of the biggest ones that comes to mind, but there's an awful lot of those people that people had given up on along the way, and some JUCO coach had given them a number of opportunities, helped straighten out their life, helped get them college credit. What people don't realize is a two-year associate's degree from Pima Community College impacts lifetime income to a tune of about 37% increase.
Yeah, it's big time. Okay, Coach, I'm going to have to wrap it up with you. We started our interview talking about your wonderful work in Agua Prieta, the GoFundMe page to help these kids. And again, give us that information.
Agua Prieta Sports for Life. And you can find that on GoFundMe, or you can go to my Facebook page and find the link.
And you'll be ready with your team, right, with Catalina?
We start today with our preseason camp, which are getting organized, getting the kids in shape, and looking forward to another year coaching. It's what I do.
Do you keep in touch with a lot of the kids who become, obviously, men?
Literally thousands.
Yeah, okay.
It's been
thousands.
Incredible. And I have the terrible habit of answering every single
email
or Facebook or happy birthday. And I got over a couple thousand of them, most of them from former students and
That's
players.
Wonderful.
And it took me an entire day, much my wife's chagrin, since we share the same birthday,
right,
that I took the time to answer every single one with at least a thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. And again, happy birthday to you, Coach. I always look forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Bill. Nice seeing you.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. Then Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you for our Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Get an update on the monsoon from climatologist Zach Guido. We're off to a pretty good start on the monsoon summer thunderstorm season. We'll be right back tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon and evening.